Well, good morning and welcome to our Pentecost Sunday. First time ever in history that I get to preach on a Pentecost Sunday in my garden or from my garden. And welcome to you all who join us for this broadcast, for this service. And although it feels strange a little bit, as Pentecost is an experience that the people of God wear together. We're together to worship the Lord, and as they were together, as they gathered together, the Holy Spirit came on them. The Holy Spirit moved in power, in the shape, the form of tongues of fire. As people gathered together, as they gathered for their Pentecost, for their Harvest Festival, the Holy Spirit came on them. So I want to welcome you by reading a few words from John 16, a passage that reminds us of Jesus' prophetic announcement of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. I want to highlight those words as the coming of the Holy Spirit and his purpose in our midst. Father, where you can be, so I can be. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what he is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. Wonderful words, and with those words I want to welcome you to this indeed Pentecost Sunday. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit of God will pour out in full measure on all of us, young and old, rich and poor, will pour out on all our worship, on our time together as we listen to God's word this morning, as we hear some wonderful testimonies this morning. We want to be part of what God is doing, something new into the future. And so welcome. God bless you as you watch this wonderful service and time of worship together. Bless you. Amen.
Of your presence. Spirit, Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
There is one body, one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future.
There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all Christians, you are all one in Christ Jesus.
We're all baptized by the one spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given one spirit to drink.
There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, who is Lord over all and in all and through all.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me."
All our authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
We are one in Christ.
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 We are one in Christ, united in the Holy Spirit.
We are united in the Holy Spirit.
We are united in the Holy Spirit.
We are united in the Holy Spirit.
And we are united in the Holy Spirit.
We are united in the Spirit.
We are one in Christ, united in the Holy Spirit.
We are one in Christ. We are united in the Holy Spirit.
It's Pentecost. I think you know the story told of years ago when Jesus' friends were sat indoors, feeling a little nervous because they'd seen their master, Jesus, killed. The cross was brutal. Blood was spilled. They'd seen him come alive again. And 40 days of seeing him, then 10 days before, he gave a speech, went up to heaven, out of reach, and said to wait for God to pour his power on them, then nothing more. So they sat inside with fear and missing having Jesus near. That Pentecost, a special day, a sound of wind arrived to say that God was there. He would inspire, sent what looked like some tongues of fire. God's Holy Spirit filled them all. There wasn't any fear at all. But people changed. They felt so bold, they knew that others must be told. So went outside, where others came from many lands, to hear the claim that Jesus, who had died and rose, was God. And not as they'd supposed, a simple prophet. So they must say sorry, God, and learn to trust. The people were from countries spread around, and yet inside their head, when Peter spoke, they'd understand the message God had always planned. And so 3,000 people bowed. "Forgive us, God." Their voices vowed to follow Jesus, be made new, and they'd be God's disciples too.
When I found Jesus, I found the answer. Years of trying to do my best got me nowhere, not with my family, not with my fears. To find that Jesus accepted me unconditionally was absolutely amazing. Peace and joy filled my life. God gave me lots of opportunities to serve him as a physio in Nigeria and in church life. There's no greater joy. Despite life's problems, Jesus is always faithful.
I've got this candle, so we are going to take as said, this will be Jesus. And these are all his disciples, like when the flames were on their heads. As we can see that disciples are very close to Jesus. When Jesus isn't here, it's dark times. When Jesus is here, finally. And when Jesus is here, it shows that he's the brightest light and that he is always with us and he's the Holy Spirit. But when he died on the cross, he was on the cross and he was nailed and he went away. When it was Easter, he arose from the dead, would mean he's back in his place of being the Holy Spirit with his disciples. And his disciples were very happy. Thank you. Bye.
Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 21.
On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability.
At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers.
They were completely amazed.
How can this be?
They exclaimed.
These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things that God has done.
They stood there amazed and perplexed.
What can this mean?
They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying,
"They're just drunk, that's all."
Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd,
"Listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says,
I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Hello and welcome to our Pentecost Sunday, the first Sunday in ever, the first Pentecost ever, when we cannot be together. And it's there in it that Pentecost people were gathered together and the Holy Spirit came on them. And this is the first Pentecost that I am aware of, and I'm sure historians will tell us, theologians will affirm that it is the first Pentecost probably ever where we cannot be together in church, not only in the UK but probably all over the world, almost every other country. An interesting experience to preach on the coming of the Holy Spirit on the church, or people being together yet we are separate in our own homes. But the Holy Spirit, we know, is promised for every individual in every single life, in every single home, in every single country throughout the world. And he will fall on his people as he did 2,000 years ago when they were together, or even now when we are separate. The work of the Holy Spirit while we are here on earth will still continue through his incredible purposes for each one of us. And so we come to this incredible story of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the passage that we just read. And it's so exciting, this service, because we heard so many testimonies about grace encounters, because this is the series of what we've been doing in the last 4 or 5 weeks. This is the sixth message in it. And we've been looking at the paralytic man in Luke 5. We've been looking at sinful woman in Luke 7. And the woman with issue of blood in Luke 8. Crippled woman in Luke 13. And 10 lepers, of course, in Luke 17 last week. And we also heard some testimonies, some encounters of God's grace in people in our fellowship and beyond our fellowship who've been with us and not with us anymore. And those who lives have been transformed because they had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And this is part of that series that we come now to Pentecost, where the church has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to continue the work of mission. It's been given power, it's been given authority, it's been given the Holy Spirit himself, God himself, has been given to the church in order to continue to proclaim, to witness, and to share God's love throughout the world. Imagine how bizarre and quite different and interesting must have seemed to the disciples when they gathered together, because really Pentecost was a harvest gathering, and they gathered there together because they wanted to celebrate God's goodness and faithfulness and God's provision for them, provision of love, of food, of forgiveness, and so on throughout the years. And so at this time they didn't expect anything different. Imagine how they would have probably just gathered for the same old all the time. Yet something happens between them and among them, that the Holy Spirit comes and the people start to see tongues of fire coming on them, speaking in tongues, and a different experience. And some of them begin to understand different languages, Persian, Greeks, and all the others from different regions all over the world. They begin to understand one another. And it's interesting how we can correlate this to what's happening today in the world, and where we are not together, but yet God, through his Spirit, brings us together, although in our own homes, in our own different scenarios and circumstances. And again, I hope and pray that this message finds you well, wherever you are, and that together we will rejoice in the power that the Holy Spirit brings to us at Pentecost. And I want to continue this into the Pentecost to share just three small thoughts of three encounters the Holy Spirit brings into all the church's life. And those are no less important the encounters that God brought to each one of us individually, that Jesus has brought to the paralytic woman, or to the cripple, to the paralytic man, or the crippled woman, or to the 10 lepers. The Holy Spirit brought a new wholeness to the church, a new empowerment, and a new vision, and a new mission to the church. And let me remind you again from the very beginning that the church hasn't got a mission. It is God who has the mission, and the church is called to be part of that mission. The church is empowered and is gifted to be part of what God is doing in the world and joining him in. And so as we look at the story in Acts chapter 2, and when the Holy Spirit comes on the people, we are reminded that they are given power, they are given authority, they are given courage, and they are given the Holy Spirit indeed to go and celebrate, to go and witness, to go and be God's disciples all over the world. And so I want to start with the first thought on this, that at Pentecost, God has given to the Holy Spirit, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gift of excitement. Let me clarify what I mean by that. Because usually when we go to church, we don't go for excitement. Many people think church is a boring place, and rightly so. And I think the Holy Spirit has not been given to us to be entertainers, to be excited from that point of view, but it's been given to us in order to avoid or becoming an institution. And we are called to become an organism, a living organism who perpetuates, who multiplies, who transforms and changes all the time according to the mission of God, according to His calling, according to His purposes. But what happens is that when we put structures in place and the church becomes an institution, then it does become boring. It does become lethargic. It does become unattractive, not only to Christians but to people out there. And we need to pray that as the gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to us, not for entertainment but for excitement in mission and in ministry, that our church does not become boring. That as we go back, when the Lord will call us back to be, whenever it's going to be, July, September, whenever it is, this year or next year, when we're meeting again as a institution, as a body of Christ, let's hope and pray that we will not become an institution church, that we will not do the things that we've done before in order to maintain a church, an institution, an organization, but we'll allow the Holy Spirit to breathe new life into our new structures, into our new community living as disciples of Jesus Christ. And this is how I think. There is nothing boring or lifeless about the Church of Christ, but there is something intensely boring and lifeless about institutionalism in the church. And institutionalism replaces the Holy Spirit power and His attractiveness, His power to that is given us to witness. When the Holy Spirit of God is energizing and exciting and in the institution of the church, then we will see new transformation. We will see that indeed there will be new wine skins that will hold the new wine in it. It will not be old wine, because this is what we're trying all the time, to put new wine into the old schemes, into the old structures that will not work anymore. Pray with me that this excitement of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us at Pentecost will be different this time when we gather again. So this is number one, the gift of the excitement. Secondly, we have the gift of power. We've preached about this many times, and we said it many a times. For others, the Holy Spirit, and for many of us, it is the gift of power, but it's not power to rule. You know, in Christendom, the era when Constantine came to power in 300 AD, until about 150 years, even probably 100 years ago, the church has been at the center of political life, of institutions, of nationalism, of everything. The church was asked for advice in everything that the country did, the politics have done, the rulers have engaged with. Now, I'm not sure this is what Christ had in mind, Jesus had in mind, when He called the church, the new ecclesias, and said, on this rock I'm going to build my church. The power that the Holy Spirit has been given to us, He hasn't been given to rule in an autocratic manner, but He's been given to us in order to love, in order to witness, in order to sacrifice and challenge the cultural behavior of our society. The power of the church has its power that is born out not of authority but of brokenness. It is born out of weakness and witness to the world that wants to go its own way. How much we are needing now as Christians to pray for the revival, for the power of the Holy Spirit to come on us, that we may continue to be witnesses to of Christ to the world in which we live, a world that is now full of anxiety, that is full of fear, that is full of probably still doubts and unbeliefs. We need that power. That's the power that Christ has given through the Holy Spirit to the church, not to rule, not to be an authority. The church has never been a majority, ever been, throughout the history of the world. Throughout its history, the church has been a minority, and your minority will stay, I think, into God's mind and sight. So this is the kind of power that the Holy Spirit has given us, that comes out from brokenness, from weakness, from our humility in walking the path of Christ by carrying the cross with us. And so the third thing that the Pentecost brings to the power of the Holy Spirit is the gift of the Word. The Holy Spirit is the gift, the message that we proclaim to the world. The Holy Spirit gave something to us for the world to say. The Holy Spirit gave the church a prophetic voice. When all we've got in an institutional church is just a voice that is old and is out of touch with the world, then we cannot reach out to other people in a relevant way, in a way that is according to God's will, that is according to His purposes and according to His heart for the world that is lost. And as Peter explained at the Pentecost, he says, in the last days it will be that God declares that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know what? We're living into very challenging times just now. And my biggest worry, whether I call it worry, but I think our biggest challenge and our biggest call and our biggest prophetic word that I can bring to you here, and we can probably bring as a church to one another and to the world, is that we need to pray for our young people, for their futures. I know that this comes to the right time, this prophetic word from Joel, but we need to pray for them, as the world has got almost nothing to offer them from now on, if you look around it. But God is powerful, and we need to pray for our children, for our grandchildren, for our young people in church and in the world. Not just about their jobs, but their walk with Christ, their empowerment by the Holy Spirit, that there's a new generation who will bring a new life and a new way of life into the world as we come out of this coronavirus in the next few weeks from now on. Let's continue to pray for them, that the Holy Spirit will empower them, will fill them as such. The church has a message, and that message will always have to be and remain a prophetic message. The gift of the Holy Spirit is ultimately a gift not to the church. Remember this, what I'm saying now, not to the church, but to the whole world. It's been given to us so that we can share it to others. Remember, it's not our mission, it is God's mission that we join. And part of those, if we put those two together, the mission of God with the word that He's given us, this is how God fulfills His mission to the whole world, through His church, which He empowers through the Holy Spirit to go and be witnesses and to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit in the whole world. And this is what I want to say to you today. When we return to church as an institution, we want to be a Pentecost church, a church that is empowered and structured for mission, not for survival, not for maintenance. A church that is broken for mission, not for conflict and disagreement for one another. We want to become a Pentecost church that brings a prophetic word to the world out there. So I'd like you to listen now after this message for some more encounters of Jesus Christ, more lives that have been transformed by Jesus. And this is what we need to take with us into a broken world just now with the corona. We need to take a message of love, of hope, of how God transformed our lives. I so much enjoy this service, to hear some of the testimonies as we heard just now, and I encourage you to listen to two or three others after this message of how God continues to bless His church, where two or three are together, or 40 or 50 or 20 or 30 or even 200, 300 or 1,000. We want to be a Pentecost church. We want to know the power of the Holy Spirit among us, and so we want to open ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want to become and remain a church that encounters Christ, encounters the Holy Spirit, not just at Pentecost, but every day, in every relationship. When you knock on somebody's door when it's lonely, when we go the other side of the street and greet a stranger, when we help the broken and we pray for those anxious and fearful. for the lonely and the poor and the rich. This is what a church that we want to become. This is the purpose for God's church that he established on earth. Yes, we've been empowered. Yes, we've been given authority. Yes, we've been given a prophetic word. And those are not for us. Those are for the world out there, in order they may fulfill his prophecy, his purpose, and indeed the people may come to glorify him. Let me just pray for us before we listen to some more testimonies this morning. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us to be part of your church. We pray on this day of Pentecost that you'll empower us, you'll fill us with your spirit. Father, this is strange because we are not together. I am where I am this morning in my garden on my own. But people listening to this message, we are still part of your church. Although separate in our own homes, in our own district, in our own different parts of the world even. We pray for a touch and an anointing of your Holy Spirit on us as we are together just now, listening or taking part in the service. Father, we thank you. Provide, bless and fill your church with the Holy Spirit of God, that we may continue to do your mission, we may continue to be that prophetic voice in the world. We pray also, Father, that you will help us when we get back and shape and form again the church, that we'll not continue in those structures again, but we will have the courage to break the old wine, the old skins, and provide new skins for the new wine. Father, we pray for a touch of your Holy Spirit, that our lives will be different because they are touched by the grace of God. They are transformed, and because we had an encounter with the living Christ. We thank you, we worship you, we bless you, and in the name of Jesus, we offer you our prayer on this very day of Pentecost. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Amen.
There is no God like Jehovah.
So we now come to our prayers of intercession. I would like to read again as the beginning of the service I did in from John chapter 17. Listen to the words of Jesus as he was praying to the Father. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I are one. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, and glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them. So let's pray together. Let's intercede for the world that God still loves, that Jesus himself interceded before the Father, both believers and non-believers. So let us pray. Father, on this day of Pentecost, we acknowledge that you have called us into your mission. You have given us the privilege to be your disciples who go, disciples who become empowered, authorized, and filled with your Holy Spirit to go and make disciples of all nations. We thank you for that privilege and opportunity that you have given us to be with you, co-workers into the kingdom of God, to share the gospel. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, as we heard in your message today, that you have given to the church, not for its own benefit, not for its own good time, but for the world. We thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit, that we may be a prophetic voice, again as we heard this morning. Father, we pray that we will have the courage, the boldness, the wisdom and the sensitivity to be able to be witnesses into a world that is hurting, is full of anxiety and fear. Lord, we pray on this day of Pentecost that you will pour out your spirit of healing, of reassurance, of hope over us, your children, your disciples, over your churches, over your ministers, over the nation, over every home and household in this country, over our politicians. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, fill this nation with your Holy Spirit and bring healing over it. Bring your Holy Spirit in every home in this land. As we pray for our nation, we pray for the whole of the world. Lord, in this time that is challenging and difficult, may your healing presence of your Holy Spirit touch people's lives. Where there is anxiety, may be replaced with peace. Where there is uncertainty about the future, may you bring hope and reassurance of your peace, love and joy. Where there is dissatisfaction in the soul, where there is unrest in the heart, may you bring a joy of salvation during this time. We continue to pray for our nurses, for our doctors, for people who work in hospital, for those who drive lorries and those who are on the front line in every sphere of work and whatever they do, wherever they put their lives on. Father, we pray that you will bring your Holy Spirit in their lives, that you will bring protection. We continue to pray for those who've lost a loved one, whether to corona or to any other illnesses or any other incidents. Father, we pray at this time it is so much more difficult to hold a funeral, to say goodbye to a loved one, that you bring peace and love and joy and forgiveness into people's hearts. We pray for your Holy Spirit to breathe on us. Oh, breathe on us. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life in you, that we may walk in that power of a prophetic word, that we may walk with boldness and joy, with hope and forgiveness in our hearts, that we may impart the good news of Jesus. Lord, fill your church here at Lancaster, us at Baptist, all the churches in the city. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be witnessed together. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit in our homes, in our loneliness, in our anxiety and fear, in our worry and depression. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Breathe on us the last breath of God, with life in you, that we may do as thou hast done. Lord, help us glorify you. I thank you for the privilege to be this incredible Sunday of Pentecost, present yet scattered, together yet in different homes, because we are your body, your church, and you've given your Holy Spirit to us in order to be scattered and to be witnesses in all the world. Father, we pray and we look forward to the time when we will be gathered again, so that we can worship as a family, as one body in Christ, so that we can sing and bring praise to the name that is above all other names. Lord, I pray that you will keep our minds, our spirit, our homes and families protected by your blood, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in the name of Jesus, we offer you all prayers, and we ask that you will indeed protect us till we see each other again. And may the Holy Spirit of God fell afresh on us. On us, on our children, on our grandchildren, our young people, in our families, on our land, on all of us. Lord, breathe a new freshness of your Spirit. Breathe on us, breath of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, and may the Lord bless you.
Hi, I'm Laura. Some of you may remember me from when I used to go to Lancaster Baptist Church before I moved to Yorkshire about 4.5 years ago, since which I've continued to encounter God's grace, settling well into an evangelical church where I've been baptised and become a member. And it's such encounters with God's grace that I've been asked to share with you today. I first heard the gospel whilst a student at Lancaster University, but I did not initially respond as I ought, namely turning aside from my sin and trusting wholly in Jesus. But God's steadfast love, that same love we see poured out on the Israelites in the Old Testament, though they keep turning from God, was patiently poured out on me. I see God's grace is twofold. Firstly, my salvation, which means that even at times like this, when there is so much uncertainty from the more trivial of when will I next be able to go on holiday, to the more concerning, such as when will the COVID-19 related death rate begin to lessen and even end. But all these things pale against the certainty that I have in knowing that there is an eternal kingdom with God waiting for me and for all who trust in the Lord. The second part to God's grace I encounter is my sanctification. I am still far from perfect, but by God's grace I deal with things better. So, for example, at the moment, during lockdown, I've had my sister, who isn't a Christian, living with me. Before I brought her up to stay with me, I was worried that it would be weeks of arguing and annoyance on both parts. However, by the grace of God, my behaviour and attitude towards her is much improved from when we last lived together. Part of that is that we're no longer teenagers, but she has noticed a calmness in me, and it is for that peace that surpasses all understanding. When I moved to Yorkshire, I was given very kindly a fridge magnet with a quote from Jeremiah, which I'd just like to share. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. The two reasons I moved to Yorkshire, a relationship and a job, both came to an end within a year or so. But by God's grace, I have been blessed beyond measure, both in terms of materially, I'm now settled and own a house here, but also in having a church family that have so gloriously welcomed me in, and in having that loving Father in heaven. I don't know when I'll hear that there are no more new cases of COVID-19, or when the current restrictions will end, or where I'll be, or what I'll be doing in another 4.5 years' time. But I do know that God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, will be continued to be poured out on me. And I pray the same for all of you. Goodbye for now, and God bless.
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be changed.